2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 weeks ago, I talked to you about 2 Timothy chapter 2. 3 weeks ago, it was chapter 1. We're not going to do worship songs this morning to shift gears, to settle down, to focus. So let's just take a second and do that now. I know you guys were having fun and all that stuff. Let's just do this. Let's all just take a second and pray, all right, that God would help us to focus, to get our hearts in the right place. God, I thank you for what we're about to do. I thank you for the students that are going to get up front and share with their peers what you've done in their lives. I thank you for doing something in my life that I can't help but get up here and talk about it every week. And I pray that our students' mouths and lips would be open, not just this one Sunday morning out of the year, but every week of the year to tell others about your love. I pray for the students in this room that are anxious, that are distracted, that right now you would settle their hearts, that you'd calm them, you'd be able to help them to focus on you so that they might be challenged and spurred on and encouraged by their peers. So God, would you just be with us here during this time? In Jesus' name, amen. So, listen, this series we've been talking about spiritual leadership. And I gave out these little cards, and we've got some in the back if you want to get one. And basically all it says is, if you want to take your turn at the most awesome adventure that's available to you in this life, send me an email. And I sent an email back to the 40-some-odd people that did it. Now in here, I said, who wants to be a spiritual leader? And almost everyone in the room raised their hand. But only 40 people sent me an email. And I encourage them on self-leadership, on how to lead somebody younger than them and get involved with starting blocks down the hall. And I encourage them with peer leadership about how to maybe start talking to your peers about what God's done in your life. And they're going to get an opportunity this morning. I'm going to set a stool up here and a microphone, and we're going to have just a line of students come through where they come up and share with you just a short 5-minute deal about what God's doing in their life right now so that they can encourage you and they can take their turn at leading other people. I'll tell you one quick story before we do that. And just so you can be ready, I'm going to tell you the first three people that are going to go this morning. It's going to be Allie Wagner, Mary Catherine Mountjoy, and Trevor Berry are going to go first. So you guys can be getting ready. At my house, I have a garage, and I have a little attic above the garage. And Allie, my wife, is getting ready to finish teaching school, so she's going to have a lot of tubs and supplies and stuff she brings home. So I climbed up in my garage to see if there was going to be space up there to store her stuff. And the ceiling's really low, so I kind of had to crawl up there. And when I got up, I looked out the end of my garage, and there's this vent so air can circulate through the garage up there. And in the vent, there's like chicken wire that block it. But in the vent things, there's these wooden slats that are in there. There's a bird's nest built in the vent. And if I looked closely, I could see, because the light was coming in and it was like a silhouette of the bird's nest, I could see a mom bird sitting next to her bird's nest and three babies with their mouths open and their necks stretching up. And the mom was feeding the babies. And it was awesome, because that's how my mom fed me when I was a baby. No, just kidding. She would chew up my food and spit in my mouth till I was 12. No, that didn't happen. But I thought, that's really cool. And so I sat and I watched this mom and bird feed her babies for a while. Well, just this Friday, I was taking some stuff out. I have a storage shed in my backyard. I was taking some stuff out, and as I walked by the back of the garage where the nest would be above me, I looked down, and my foot was about to come down on a baby bird. And there was this cute, tiny little baby bird sitting in the grass, and he was looking up at me going, meh, meh, meh. And I was like, I almost crushed you. And then I just crushed, no, I didn't do it. I said, I almost crushed you. And I walked around him. And then I heard this really loud noise. And right on a branch right above me was the baby's mom. I assumed it was this bird that was just chirping at me and kind of flying around from limb to limb and just threatening me with, you know, its little beak, I guess is all it has. But and diseases, because birds have diseases. And it was threatening me not to mess with its baby bird, because what it had done is it had knocked or helped its baby bird out of that nest, and it was giving that bird a chance to fly. And while that bird was taking its chance to fly, that mama bird was protecting it and giving it a chance to learn how to grow on its own. That's what's happening this morning. There are some younger birds than me and the leaders that are in this room that are going to come up on stage, and some of them, they're taking their first chance to fly. And I want everyone in this room to know that just like that mama bird was protecting that baby bird, I am going to protect the students in this room. And this morning, like no other morning, if you're messing around talking to your neighbor, if you're texting, if you're joking, or if anything, you do anything to make it any harder for the people that are going to come up on stage this morning than it already is, taking courage and guts to come up here and share with you, if you do anything distracting, I will immediately take you with me outside and we'll have a little conversation. These are students that are starting to fly. There's 40 of them. I wish there were 140 of them. I wish all of you would be ready to jump out of the nest of the comfort of just living your lives the normal way and say, it's my turn now. I want to take a step. But I want to tell you, I'm so proud of the students that are going to go this week and then again the week after the baptism and share with you what God is learning, doing in their lives, because they're learning how to fly, they're becoming stronger, and their lives are changing because they're taking this step. And all of you could do it. Only 40 have signed up so far. So let's start off. We're going to have Allie Wagner, I think I said was first. So I'm going to give Allie a stool. You guys can give her a polite little round of applause. You do not have to sit on the stool. You got the microphone and the stool right here. It's all yours.
Okay. There you go. Hey, guys. Is
it on? No, that's a joke. Just kidding. It should be on.
Hey, guys. My name's Allie Wagner. Some of y'all might know me as AWAGS and Easter Egg. Allie Wags, a person scared of clowns, the best singer ever, the pastor's daughter, or even the pastor's daughter that is late to church. I believe that God has called me to join with Apostle Paul and countless other leaders in this task of telling people about Jesus. Some of y'all might think that I don't get into arguments, fights, or talk back because of my dad. Well, you have me mixed up with the wrong person. When David first started talking about my Turn Now series, I got to thinking on what God has in store for me, mainly how older people in my life have helped me to get where I am. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, soldiers, don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, but for they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. I thought of how I could help God with his plan for me by providing a way to get rid of all my roadblocks from the Lord. And this is what I came up with that has prevented me to do so. Mostly getting into fights, mainly with my sister over things that don't even make sense. I try to win every fight out there as if it's the last thing I do. I think of ways to win, so I usually don't have time to think about what God wants me to do. I usually don't have, yeah, or what the Christian sister would most likely do. Should I just let it slide or let her win, or better yet, not even start in an argument that would save her and me a lot of grief? This is what I found in the Bible about loving your siblings. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Even though I get into fights, that doesn't mean my love for Kirby has changed any. The verse is saying love can make up for all the sins you have done to one another if you actually mean it. I've now made a decision to take this challenge and spur you on with what God has shared with me. I am blessed to grow up with great parents that are both believers and have closer relationships with the Lord. My dad always helps me when I'm down and encourages me. He's there when I least expect it. He teaches me things. My mom is comforting and has great lessons to share with me. She has been in a phase like me and knows what I go through. Just think of your parents. You love them and they love you. They are there for you. They are comforting and helpful. You might or might not have a strong relationship with him, but I encourage you to take a leap of faith and grow in a relationship with your parents. They really do help you, and I just now figured it out. Just pray, and that will get you so far. So you know your parents, they know you. They know some of the things you choose to do that aren't pleasing. If you think your parents know a lot about you, you better watch out for our Savior. He is always with you. I have asked the following people to be Christian friends who hold me accountable and help me to pursue righteous living. Jenny Meek, my small group leader. Stacy Parker, also my small group leader. David Pignol and Melissa Miller. My small group, Sally Hale, Sarah Hope Nail, Jackie Stone, Kristen Carpenter, Allie Elmore, Bryn Pugh, and Holland Adams, and Maddie Restrepo. Timothy, too, has... and Allie Kirchhoffer, Emily Gray, and the Galvins. Timothy, too, has really put an impact on me and how I need to look up to my elderly for advice and encouragement. Like Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:2-4 says, preach the word of God, and to patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. I say it's time that a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase that I think would correct or encourage you if it isn't something that everyone would like to hear. I have chosen Proverbs 12:15. Fools think their own right is right, but the wise listen to advice. Because I think my peers really need to understand the truth that when an older person talks to you and you need to listen. When a friend talks, you should listen. It never hurts to listen. It hurts when you don't know what to do next. If you listen to what David says, it helps you connect with what God has in store for you, and you will grow closer to him. If you didn't email David about saying it's your turn now to take a stand and show others you want to share about God's love for them, it's not too late. Sixth and seventh graders will have another opportunity again in J. Crew, and eighth graders will have more to come. God has a purpose and plan for you. Don't waste it. Start now. Thanks for giving me your attention. They let me share my thoughts and my heart.
All right, Allie. Mary Catherine, you're next.
Hello?
Okay. There you go.
Hi, my name is Mary Catherine Mountjoy, and I believe that God has called me to join with the Apostle Paul and countless other leaders in the task of telling people about Jesus. The book of 2 Timothy says that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but power and love and self-discipline. It also says to not be ashamed of the testimony that God has given you. I've decided to come here today and boldly speak about some of the things that God has taught me to do in my life. 2 Timothy 2:4 says that soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. I want to please God, but I have to admit I get tied up in worldly things that distract me. Some of the examples of worldly things that distract me from God are social things like gossip and peer pressure and my own struggles. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, run from youthful lust, instead pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Teenagers stumble and fall over many youthful desires that are against God's will. I want to be an example of godly living, so I have prayed about it and decided to make the commitment to run away from the following things: peer pressure, unwise relationships, and gossiping. The verse also says to enjoy the companionship of those who call upon the Lord. I have asked the following people to be Christian friends who hold me accountable and help me to pursue righteous living: Mary Margaret Fleming, some close friends at school, and all my small group. 2 Timothy 4:2 through 4 says, to preach the word of God and to patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. It says that a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. David has asked me to share one verse from anywhere in the Bible that I think would correct or encourage you, even if it is something that everyone would not like to hear. I have chosen Proverbs 31:30 because I think my peers really need to understand the truth that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Thanks for giving me a chance to share my heart and listening.
All right, Mary Catherine. Trevor Berry is next. After Trevor, we have Will Schweinfurth, Shelby Polk, and Kristen Carpenter.
My name is Trevor Berry, and I believe that God has called me to join with the Apostle Paul and other leaders in the task of telling people about Jesus. And in 2 Timothy, it says that God hasn't given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. It also says that I shouldn't be ashamed of the testimony that God has given me. I've decided to come here today to boldly speak about some of the things that God's taught me in my life. In 2 Timothy 2:4, it says, soldiers don't get tied up in affairs of civilian life, for they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. I want to please God, but I have to admit that sometimes I get tied up in things in this world. For example, school, because these days we have a lot more work. So you think that God comes second, but he's always first. And also sports, because there's a lot more practices and games, and that also takes more time in your life, but I need to remember that God always comes first. In 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, run from youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace also. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. These days, teenagers stumble and fall over many youthful desires that are against God's will. I want to be an example of godly living, so I've prayed about it and want to share some of the things that I'm going to run away from. For example, harsh or mean or rude language, kind of like what Bron talked about last week. We just we do mean things to our friends because it makes us feel better, but I need to run away from that, and I've prayed about it with God, and he's going to help me. And also judging people before getting to know them, because a lot of times when I meet someone and they don't have a good first impression, I just won't like them. But I've prayed to God, and I know he'll help me get over that. The verse also says to enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord. And I've asked the following Christian friends who hold me accountable and help me to pursue righteous living. Basically all my small group, and most of all my small group leader, Craig, who's led us in Christ for almost 2 years now. And he's really helped us all become a stronger Christian. And 2 Timothy 2:4 says to preach the word of God and to patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage the people with good teaching. It says that a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. David's asked me to share one verse in the Bible that I think would correct or encourage you, even if it isn't something that everyone liked to hear. I actually chose a verse from 2 Timothy. It's 2 Timothy 1:13, because it says, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus." To me, when I read it, it meant that it's my turn now, and then I think my peers should listen to that and step up and someday take their turn. Thank you for giving me a chance to share my heart and listening.
All right, Trevor. Will Schweinfurst next, and then Shelby Pope. And guys that are going to go, I'm going to put this up here in case you want to set your paper or something down on that. You can have that there. There you go, Will. It's on.
Okay, hi, my name is this on?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't tell. Hi, my name is Will Schweinfurth, and I feel called today to serve others and serve God by preaching the gospel and telling people the good news of Christ. The book of 2 Timothy says that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. It also says not to be ashamed of the testimony that God has given us. I have decided to come here today to preach, to tell you about what God has done for us and for me in my life. 2 Timothy 2:4 says that soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. I want to please God, but I have to admit, the worldly things hinder me in the process of learning more about him. For instance, just school and sports and other things that take away from my time, keep me from reading the Bible. Also, I'm really lazy, so I'll make up excuses, say, I'd rather watch TV than read the Bible right now or pray, so I don't read the Bible as much as I should. But in 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Run from youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts." Teenagers stumble and fall over many youthful desires that are against God's will, and the world sort of more and more supports it these days, and it's becoming more normal, like music and TV just is against what God wants us to do, and peer pressure really affects you and how you act, and affects me a lot in my life. So the verse also says, though, to enjoy the companionships of those who call on the Lord so that they can hold you accountable for those things. And being in a small group is a great thing, because if I weren't in a small group, then I wouldn't know good people to hold me accountable. For instance, David Meek, my small group leader, is a great leader, and he calls me every week to support me and ask how I'm doing, and he's just always supporting me. And the rest of the people in my small group, like Andrew Piepenberg and Caleb, are always good support, and it's great to be able to talk to them every week. And 2 Timothy 4:2-4 says, to preach the word of God and to patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. It says that a time is coming when people will no longer listen to the sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after other myths. I chose a verse that I think is very encouraging. It's Ephesians 2:89. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. This is a great verse because it emphasizes that it's not us that are like the reason that we are saved. It's completely God. And God has done everything for us. He's just so great. And we don't have to do anything but believe in him. And he completely wipes away all of our sins. And he just does so much for us. That's it. And thanks for giving me a chance to share.
All right, Will. Shelby. Oh, man. We're really beating up this microphone today. It's on, Shelby. It's all you. I'll get it next time.
Okay, my name is Shelby Polk, and I'm sorry if this sounds totally scripted because I just filled in the blanks. And I believe that God has called me to join with Apostle Paul and countless other leaders in the task of telling people about Jesus. The book of 2 Timothy says that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. It also says not to be ashamed of the testimony that God has given you. I have decided to come here today to boldly speak about some of the things that God has taught me and done in my life. 2 Timothy 2:4 says that soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. I want to please God, but I have to admit that sometimes I get tied up in the things of this world. Some examples of worldly things that distract me from God are, well, actually, I just have one, but it's unforgiveness. I can hold a grudge pretty much forever, and I never tell anyone, especially not whoever I'm mad at. So it just kind of builds until every little thing they do makes me want to scream at them, but I'm really good at pretending that everything's all right. And lately, God's been trying to teach me how to resolve conflict better. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, run from youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Teenagers stumble and fall over many youthful desires that are against God's will. I want to be an example of godly living, so I have prayed about it and have decided to make the commitment to run away from the following things. Well, materialism isn't really the right word. I mean, I like to be different and totally out there, but I have no self-confidence, so I like to be accepted at the same time, which is really hard, and also unforgiveness. The verse also says to enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord. I have asked the following people to be Christian friends who hold me accountable and help me pursue righteous living. Well, my whole small group's amazing. Alyssa, Abby, Aaron, Shannon, my leader Shannon and Jenny. Also, this one girl at my school named Brianna. She's a really strong Christian. And a ton of people, not in my small group, that are like NJ Crew that I just know I could really count on if I needed to. Like Allie and Sarah Hope are a couple examples of that. And 2 Timothy 4:2-4 says to preach the word of God and to patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Says that a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. David has asked me to share one verse from anywhere in the Bible that I think would correct or encourage you, even if it isn't something that everyone would like to hear. I have chosen 1 Corinthians 10:12. It says, so if you think you're standing strong, be firm that you don't fall. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Because, like, everyone gets spiritual ups and downs, but when we're doing all the right stuff and we think we're safe from the devil, we get, like, comfortable and complacent, let down our guard to the things of this world. And, like, when you think you've got everything under control, that's when he'll strike. And so we just need to be diligent in our faith at all times, because you never know what's going to happen.
Thank you, Shelby. All right, Kristen Carpenter. Kristen's next. Kristen, ready? Run up. There she is. We may have time for one more after Kristen. Everybody else will get a chance to do it in 2 weeks, but next on the list would be Caroline Todd, if we have time for that. Thanks, Kristen.
Hi, my name is Kristen Carpenter, and I believe that God has called me to join with the Apostle Paul and countless other leaders in the task of telling people about Jesus. The book of 2 Timothy says that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. It also says not to be ashamed of the testimony that God has given you. I have decided to come here today to boldly speak about some of the things God has taught me and done in my life. 2 Timothy 2:4 says that soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. I want to please God, but I admit that sometimes I get tied up in things of this world. Some examples of worldly things that distract me from God are gossiping and saying harmful things about others, and listening to music and watching TV shows that influence me in an ungodly way. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, run from youthful lusts. Instead pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Teenagers stumble and fall over many youthful desires that are against God's will. I want to be an example of godly living, so I've prayed about it and have decided to make the commitment to run away from the following things: gossiping and listening to bad music and disrespecting my parents. The verse also says to enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord. I have asked the following people to be Christian friends who hold me accountable and help me pursue righteous living. My small group, most importantly, my small group leaders, Jenny Meek and Stacy Parker. 2 Timothy 4:2-4 says to preach the word of God and to patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. It says that a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. David has asked me to share one verse from anywhere in the Bible that I would think would correct or encourage you, even if it isn't something that everybody would like to hear. I have chosen Ephesians 2:4, but God's mercy is great and he loved us very much. Because I think my peers really need to understand the truth that no matter what we do, God will still love us, and it's never too late to go back to God if we've turned away from him. Thanks for giving me a chance to share my heart and listening.
All right, Kristen. Caroline? Caroline, it's your turn. Come on up. Everybody just reach your hands up over your head, stretch out a second. All right, Caroline.
Is it on? Hello.
There you go.
Hi, my name is Caroline Todd, and I believe that God has called me to join with the Apostle Paul and countless other leaders in the task of telling people about Jesus. The book of 2 Timothy says that God has given us a spirit of timidity, but power and love and self-discipline. It also says not to be ashamed of the testimony that God has given you. I've decided to come here today to boldly speak about some of the things that God has taught me and done in my life. 2 Timothy 2:4 says that soldiers don't get tied up in affairs of civil and life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. I want to please God, but I have to admit that sometimes I get tied up in things of this world. Some examples of worldly things that distract me from God are friendships, just making new ones and getting in fights with people, lots of times just pull me away from God and living the right life. And also just school, and lots of times I study more often and think it's more important to study for a test than spending a quiet time with God. And then 2 Timothy 2:22 says, run from your youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call in on the Lord with pure hearts. Teenagers stumble and fall over many youthful desires that are against God's will. I want to be an example of godly living, so I have prayed about it and have decided to make the commitment to run away from the following things. First off is gossiping, because it really doesn't make me feel any better. It just puts all the people who I'm gossiping about just down. And then also just fighting with my brothers and arguing with them, and just wanting to go against everything that they say. The verse also says to enjoy the companionship of those who call the Lord. I have asked the following people to be Christian friends who hold me accountable and help pursue righteous living. My small group and my family and close friends, because they all encourage me to do the right thing, even when it's tough. 2 Timothy 4:2-4 says, preach the word of God, and to patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. It says that a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after my myths. David has asked me to share one verse from anywhere in the Bible that I think would correct and encourage you, even if it isn't something that everyone would like to hear. I chose 1 Kings 2:2-3, which is, I am about to leave the earth, he said, so be strong, show yourself a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements, as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do wherever you go. I think this verse is just saying to be strong through all situations and represent Christ if you do, and even when it's hard, and if you do this, you will be rewarded. Thanks for giving me a chance to share my heart and listening.
All right, Caroline. All right, gang, we're about halfway through. I'm sorry for those of you that prepared and didn't get a chance to go today. Let me tell you who's coming up in 2 weeks. Next week's baptism, remember. 2 weeks, Kirby Wagner, Kevin Walker, Jessica Ritter, Ty Tamlin, Catherine Stouffer, Alyssa Reinhardt, Abigail Lewis, Tori Vadreen, and Kyle Stouffer will all go. Those are the people that came today ready to go. I have a lot more people on my list that have emailed me, and I've emailed back, but that weren't here today ready to go. So if you come next week, you'll get in line after those people I just listed, and we'll do it again on the 27th, okay? Just a little heads up about our schedule, baptism next week. Next week is this and the end of the Grade Wars. The Grade Wars party will be the following Friday, and then we'll do this at J. Crew on the 27th, and then after that, it's summertime, and we're going to be doing something a little bit different in the summer. I'll tell you about that coming up.